Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We do it live 7 nights a week. If you can't join us live, you can always join us online via podcast anytime you want. You can sign up for our podcast feed over at feeds.freetalklive.com. That's feeds.freetalklive.com. Here tonight, it's Ian
and Aria.
And we're supposed to be joined by Mark Edge. I have no idea.
I'm here.
Oh, hey, Dave. Well, there
oh,
he is.
He's amazing.
Last minute.
Oh, but by the way, and your little snarky comment, yeah, you just check your Matrix messages and you'll see me 20 minutes ago asking for a test.
Oh, 20 minutes
ago. I thought he was referring to my snarky messages, so I was like, wow, the mic was unmuted? That's not good.
yeah, well, it was apparently it was at 6:51, Mark, that you sent that, and you know, usually we're doing things right before the show. But anyway, glad to have you here from whatever remote location you happen to be in.
I'm in Coral Beach, Honduras, right now.
Oh, you can say it. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I saw that you were posting images from Prospera, which is one of the few that were authorized prior to the Honduran government changing out to more communists, apparently. The few of these free city projects, these ZAs, the Zona Economica. Tell me a little bit about this, and why were you over there?
Yes, so these, they're economic and educational development zones, and they'd had so much success with what they call maquilas, which are also called zolis, right, if you want to have all these official names. But they had these maquilas.
Do me a favor,
and maquilas
Mark,
are kind
you.
Of this interesting...
Turn your camera off. Let's try to save some bandwidth here because you're stuttering a bit there, and I think that might help you out just a little bit if you don't mind. Just hit that little camera switch button there.
No problem.
Your Jitsi and knock out that video, and we will continue with hearing about the Prospera. Okay, so ZAs, what now?
Right. So, Zolis. First, they had 20 years ago, maybe 30, they created these factories. But these factories...
You do see the camera button, right, Mark?
He turned it off, and then he turned it right back on.
I have
on.
Clicked it 3 times.
Well, see, you clicked it an odd number of times. That's the problem. It has to be an even... Wait, no, it does need to be odd right now.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, you've got it right now. Sorry, Mark. Let's continue.
Right. Actually, as I was saying three, I clicked it the third time, so you're correct.
All right, moving on.
Zolis. They're like 30 years old, and they're factories that exist in a political netherworld. They're neither in Honduras nor are they in the United States. But so therefore, they can operate without having to pay export duties, import duties, or anything like that. Workers come in every day, and they work long hours making, with big, huge machines, making underpants and socks and T-shirts and things like that. And this has worked really well for the Honduran people. People who didn't have jobs before have now managed to, you know, get jobs, and nutrition's increased, and all kinds of good things have happened as a result. So they thought, well, let's make something even better. What if you could live at a Zoli? And so some forward-thinking libertarian types in the Honduran government made these ZAs, but they knew that the commies were just around the corner. Central America, there's always a commie hiding under every rock. And so they built this out to legally be very difficult to undo. And last year, I think it was in March, there was a vote that the Honduran government has purported got rid of ZEDES. Oh, that's it. We voted. It was taken care of.
Wasn't it a unanimous vote, if I recall correctly?
I think it was very close to unanimity, yeah. If it wasn't. It was, you know, yeah,
so
done.
And it had blew to be, them away, basically.
It had to be two-thirds, though.
Yeah. Well,
but
it was.
That, yeah, all that did was get rid of the law.
Mm-hmm.
ZEDES were secured by three levels of security, right? Legal security. One of them was the law, which no longer exists. You can't make a new ZEDE right now. And as far as I'm concerned, I wanted that law to go away anyway, because it was basically a copy of a law out of Hong Kong, and it allowed for expropriation of land.
Well, I guess, Lemmy, you know, you got your thing. Why let competition in, right?
Well, I think that's very bad, personally. But no, I didn't.
So when you said the law allows for expropriation of land, does that mean the ZAs could just steal people's property?
The government could take land and give it to ZAs if that's what they wanted to do.
Okay.
And obviously, we don't want that.
Well, that obviously hasn't happened at this point, because they blew the entire thing away.
But could you, in theory, acquire more land, like, on the fair market by, like, purchasing? Or, like, hey, there's this street next door, you know, it's right next door to the ZA, and the people all want to sell, and we want to make them a fair offer, and they're agreeing to our price, and we want to incorporate that into our ZA. Could such a thing happen?
Yes, that can happen. That can happen, not could happen. So the ZA law was undone. You cannot make a new ZA, but there are three ZAs currently. And those ZAs are, like you said, not doing so bad. Now, the Honduran government's acting like they don't exist. They're breaking the law and doing things like that. The Honduran government will say that the ZAs exist in the legal limbo. And as one of the lawyers that helped with all of this said, ZEDES don't exist in legal limbo. What we have is a government that is breaking its own laws.
Shocking. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's too bad that no libertarians here in New Hampshire warned that this could happen when you trusted a government to keep its word.
Well, what do you think the libertarians in Honduras have lost that the libertarians in New Hampshire have gained?
I don't think it's a zero sum sort of situation where one person's loss is another person's gain. I'm just saying. I was specifically calling attention to the fact that, you know, I pointed out like 2 or 3 years ago that you cannot trust a government to keep its promises. Ever.
And that's true. And that's true in New Hampshire, and that's true in
that's
Honduras.
Right. That's right.
You'd never have gotten this far in New Hampshire. And we got pretty far in Honduras, and we'll see how it all works out.
Well, to be fair, though, to you, Mark, they haven't raided the Prospero, right? Like, the Honduran government is just kind of letting them sit. Are they making any demands of them, like saying, well, now you got to pay this tax and that tax, and, like, are they trying to change how the deal is being done, or are they just kind of leaving them alone?
I'd first like to talk about the three layers of protection, one of which has been breached.
Okay.
And please just hold your question for the end of that. The second layer of protection is a constitutional protection, and that is currently in place. You know, all the ZAs are completely constitutional. You know, open your Honduran constitution, go to Article 40, read it, and you will see the word ZA there. So the idea that ZAs exist in a legal limbo is pretty much kicked right in the crotch with that statement.
Which is good, but the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, was obviously unconstitutional as well in the United States. But they didn't stop the Supreme Court from going, yeah, this is fine.
Yeah, well,
I'm just playing devil's advocate. I love what you've done.
I don't think it's true.
Right.
I don't think it's true. I think that ZAs are specifically mentioned in the Honduran Constitution, whereas the Affordable Care Act, isn't specifically mentioned. So therefore, when the Supreme Court, the organization that decides whether something's constitutional or not, says, well, it's a tax. And then, you know, and I can see the point they made. As far as I'm concerned, the Affordable Care Act is constitutional. I mean, I read their opinion, and the point they made was valid.
Well, they said, for as far as I can tell, it's constitutional because they said it was.
Well, I think that that is fundamentally the end of it, right?
Yeah. That's how the Supreme Court works.
Yeah. I mean, and the dumbest thing anyone ever did was give the government the ability to determine what the government was and wasn't allowed to do.
Okay, so what were the three layers of protection?
And the third layer of protection. So the second layer of protection is the constitutionality. And like I said, go take a look at the Honduran Constitution, Article 40, and you can read it yourself. And the third layer is a what they call a bilateral treaty with the country of Kuwait that also includes the Zetas. Now, this is important to note, is the United States Constitution clearly mentions that any treaty becomes the Constitution of the United States. So anytime the United States makes a treaty like SALT II or the one with the Treaty of Tripoli, I think it was called, with the Barbary pirates.
I love that one because that one explicitly points out that the United States is not a Christian nation. That's always been one of my favorite treaties.
It also says that these people of the United States calls them subjects. And nonetheless, it becomes a it becomes constitutional. And so these three layers are what protect the Zeta law. Now, the Zeta law was gotten rid of as easily as it could be reinstated, perhaps better this time, right? A vote of the Honduran legislature, and poof, it's back in play, right? Because the other two controls are still in place.
But if it required two-thirds majority to repeal it, would it require two-thirds majority to implement a new one? If so, getting two-thirds of the Senate or Congress or Parliament or whatever they have to flip their opinions on this is a really tall order.
Right. And that also, you know, that comes into play. So do we have three ZAs or do we have a million? And I don't know the answer to that, Ari. I can't say at this time. Is at this point, the three ZAs that exist in a very clearly wrought legal framework, and anything to the contrary is a lie.
Okay. Well, congrats on the success you've had there then.
Right. And I guess I would ask this, is competition from a million people is certainly better than competition from four organizations, right?
Possibly. But I don't know. There's probably a limit to that, right? Like, at a certain point, more people are doing terrible things to make your thing look better than, without actually making it better, you know?
That's probably true, but most of the million people will get out of that business, whatever that is, very quickly because they can't compete. But I wonder whether four organizations is sufficient for a level of competition that would bring better governance. But how much worse could it be? I mean, at this point, Honduras is already considered bad governance on a scale of organizations that are bad. Right.
Like, yes, indeed. We were just looking at the Reporters Without Borders 2023 Press Freedom Index, and Honduras is literally at the bottom, 10 here? Bottom 15 countries. It is number 169 out of 180. Only worse off, you know, the only countries worse than Honduras as far as press freedoms are Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Cuba, Myanmar, Eritrea, Syria, Turkmenistan, Iran, Vietnam, China, and North Korea. I mean, it is.
That's bad company. Good. But, Mark, I need to know, if I lived in the Honduras, like that was where I permanently made my residence, could I sell Bitcoin without going to prison for 18 months?
Best I can tell, the answer to that is yes.
Because that makes everything look more, you know, that's a different lens through which to view things right now, is that the American government, whatever perks it might have and whatever flaws it might have, is literally about to put me in prison for 18 months, right?
Yep.
Thus far, no other government has done that or even attempted to or even hinted that they wanted to do that. So I like the idea of having options out there that won't literally throw me in a case for 18 months.
This goes back to Mark's advocacy that you should search out the freedoms that are important to you. And so if cryptocurrency transactions are important as a freedom, then there's probably some places on the planet that are more welcoming to them.
I don't know if it's necessarily cryptocurrency trading. It's the ability to forge my own destiny without having to ask permission and to improve myself, right? To make my life better without having to ask for permission that the U.S. government has historically denied to anyone trying to make their lives better.
I think that all countries do that. Like you're giving a very general sort of anti-government statement, which I'm not scolding you for it. I'm just saying that, you know, hey, you've won that little game with your, you know, very broad statement. All governments everywhere appear to want to control their economies in this way or that way. Honduras has not seen fit at this time to create anything, from what I can tell, as far as a Bitcoin law goes. And thus, you know, people have been able to do what they want to do with impunity. Now, the United States, on the other hand, really hasn't created any Bitcoin laws either. However,
no, but this goose is cooked, man. I mean, if you read the world, if you read the world scene right now, the United States, it's got maybe a decade. I mean, it'll survive in one form or another, right? But the dominance of the USD, it's done. It is over. That death knell is whatever death knells do. It's doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could the United States not just pivot right now and create some kind of either adopt or create some kind of cryptocurrency?
No, I think something. BRICS. I think BRICS has already won. I think it's just a matter of BRICS becoming more prominent and the USD becoming less prominent.
Well, I want to hear what Mark is cooking up here. What do you think that the government could do? You were saying adopt. Or create a cryptocurrency? Keep going.
Well, let's say, for instance, this is just hypothetical. The United States adopts Bitcoin. It says, hey, well, yeah, I get
ridiculous
it.
Ridiculous hypothetical.
You're giggling. I get you're giggling, and I tend to agree.
They're not going
to
ever go against their banker masters.
Yeah, but that would just serve the United States well. Like, that would ensure the United States' dominance into the future. Or economic.
Adopting Bitcoin?
Yeah.
I don't know. Not with these fees.
Okay.
Right
fair.
Now. Well, have you seen the Bitcoin fees these days, Mark? It's crazy.
Right. I've got a couple of transactions.
Or any cryptocurrency. Let's say Bitcoin Cash or Dash or any other good usable cryptocurrency.
So they adopt crypto. Right. Uh-huh.
I think there's that's really my whole thing. That's it. You know, is that the dollar's crashing. And you might as well jump off this. You know, if you jump right before the elevator hits the ground, you don't crash, right?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, that myth was kind of busted. But anyway, I understand where you're coming from, right? And in this particular case, it could work. Like the United States.
Imagine Jack Sparrow stepping off of the ship as it sinks, as it comes towards the dock.
Yeah, that's that kind of, that's better. I mean, that's also not realistic, but whatever. This is Pirates of the Caribbean. It's fun, right?
United States adopting a cryptocurrency that it does not control and cannot inflate is unrealistic. I'm just saying, like, here is this dire situation where what has been at this point heretofore the maven of fiat currencies, the U.S. dollar, the pinnacle, the highest ever reached by any empire, the control that you just can't even describe, finally. I think that I agree. I think it's coming to an end. I don't know when, and I'm not predicting that part, but, you know, pop.
Yeah, to be fair, I can't predict when either, but based on the situation that I'm seeing, I don't expect it to take longer.
Well, look,
much longer.
We've seen what happens in countries like Venezuela and Zimbabwe with hyperinflation. We know what happens there and what is currently still happening there.
Yep.
They're getting away with it. I mean, Maduro is still in charge down there. He's still the president in Venezuela, even after impoverishing those people to the point where they're having to skip a meal every day simply because they can't afford to have the meal. They're having to boil water in order to be able to drink it because they have no way of getting clean water. I mean, these people are in massive poverty. And
they are, but Americans are spoiled. Right.
True.
And they have a lot of guns. And when you combine those two things together, I just don't see Americans tolerating
Look at
too
what they
much.
Tolerated with COVID.
But that was because they had their Starbucks and whatever to keep them going.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Once they lose the Starbucks and the avocado toast or whatever it is that boomers complain about,
that's a millennial thing, I think, the avocado toast.
Right, but they complain about millennials having the boomers.
Complaints
about
is a boomer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
by the
anyway,
way, I like the avocado toast.
Avocado toast is delicious.
I've never had it
as Gen X. Yes. I'm going to go on the record. Avocado.
I never had it before. Bonnie moved in here, and she makes it all the time. It's just absolutely fantastic. But anyway, so just to look at what's been going on, and I think you're absolutely right, Aria. We've been following the dollar de-dollarization story here for weeks. on Free Talk Live. And it's been in, you know, the fear-mongering realm for a very, very long time. Websites like Zero Hedge, of course, have been predicting it, the fall of the dollar, for many, many, many years. And people in the world of the gold bugs, for instance, the silver bugs, they've been predicting it for decades. So, but it hasn't happened yet. Is it finally happening now? There are a lot of really interesting indicators that suggest that, yes, in point of fact, it is happening. The dollar being used as far as world reserve currency is being reduced. The dollar's use in trade is being reduced. You've got, speaking of Argentina, one of the hyperinflation states, they just made a deal with China to do their trade in China with yuan, as Brazil has made a similar deal with China. So you've got the two largest economies in South America changing from using the dollar in their trading with China over to the yuan. So
this is the BRICS thing, right? Or is BRICS creating their own currency? Because I don't remember now.
Talk about BRICS creating their own currency. And there's also apparently as many as 19 countries that are looking to join BRICS. BRICS, by the way, for listeners that don't know, is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. So they may be adding more letters to that. I don't know how they're going to cook, you know, up the new name.
Well, from a practical standpoint, can anyone out there blame them? We have seen what the United States does when it has dollar dominance and when it has global just uncontested reign to do whatever it wants. It causes endless amounts of war and destruction and death. And it exports pieces of paper to the entire world while importing massive amounts of goods and actually useful things, while at the same time banning immigration and doing all sorts of other evil, horrific things in their own borders.
It would be one of the best things to happen, would be de-dollarization for the world. It would reduce the power and the hegemony of the U.S. federal government. I don't think it can come soon enough.
But it will not be pretty for Americans.
No, it won't be pretty for Americans. It'll mean a major reduction in your quality of living here in the United States if you're relying exclusively on the dollar. Now, if you have other things, like maybe some crypto or some gold or silver, you may actually be insulated from that somewhat. Go ahead, Mark.
The United States has been a really great place to make money for many decades, and that's going to change little by little and then all at once. You've heard it many times. That's how it's going to go. Now, are we talking about the little by little right now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But here's what I do know, ladies and gentlemen. The dollar will not be the world reserve currency for the next 1,000 years.
Pretty safe prediction. Yeah, in fact, there's a chart that shows that world reserve currencies have only lasted about 100 years. So prior to the dollar, it was, I think, the British pound. I don't remember what it was prior to that, but they showed it on a chart that 100 years is about the length of time for a world reserve currency. And this is about time's up. Yeah. At this point.
And here's what I would point out about BRICS. It's worth pointing out, when you're pointing out things about the United States, it's worth pointing stuff out, is India and China cooperating on anything appears to be very difficult. So I don't know how BRICS is going to go either. I'm not trying to tell you what is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, other than the dollar is not going to maintain its supremacy for 1,000 years. I would be surprised, and I'm almost prepared to make the prediction, it won't do it for 100.
Well, I mean, it came out in, I guess the Federal Reserve came out in 1913, so technically.
Yeah, but I think 1971 is the one where it should start.
Because they pulled out the gold backing from the dollar? Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good
point. But the USD was the gold, was the currency of the world then. It was just allegedly backed by gold prior to that.
Indeed.
Yeah, but it wasn't fiat.
Well, let's continue here. It's a strong argument, though, Mark. I agree. The number is 603-283-6160. Since we're talking about that area of the world, Honduras, I got some news out of El Salvador coming up. It is Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. President Biden met with congressional leaders at the White House today to discuss raising the debt ceiling. Afterward, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said nothing positive came from the meeting.
Everybody in this meeting reiterated the positions they were at. I didn't see any new movement.
McCarthy says another meeting has been set for Friday. A New York City jury found former President Trump liable in a civil rape defamation case brought by writer E. Jean Carroll. Carroll claimed Trump raped her in a department store dressing room in the 1990s, allegations Trump has denied. The jury sided with Carroll and has awarded her nearly $5 million in damages. More interest rate hikes could be in our future. That's according to New York Fed President John Williams. He says policymakers remain focused on returning inflation to their target goal of 2% and said it'll take a while for the Fed's previous rate hikes to work their way through the economy. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, we'll check in with the latest from El Salvador, which on one hand did legalize Bitcoin. So kind of like Mark was talking about earlier, what if the United States government adopted cryptocurrency? I don't think it'll ever happen here because the U.S. government is owned by the banker class, and you know those people work closely hand in hand. They're never gonna, you know, have a breakup with one another. The U.S. government is talking about doing its own currency, digital currency, but it will not be a cryptocurrency. It's not been approved just yet, but they are investigating the idea of a central bank digital currency. That seems to be the direction things are going in here.
I don't know. I think a breakup is possible, right? Like the U.S. government, like any other state or any other organization or any other living organism, right? Well, it wants to continue its own existence. And partnering with the bankers at some point will be a threat to the continuation of its existence. And I don't know if the U.S. government will realize that in time, but it's possible that breaking up with the governments could help them to continue breaking up with the bankers, could help them continue existing.
Hmm. Well, I'm skeptical of that, but we can continue the discussion here. Mark, are you still with us?
Skeptical of all of it.
Sorry, say that one more time.
Yeah, I'm skeptical of all of it.
Well, one thing is for sure, people migrating for their viewpoints is probably one of the most powerful things you can do, besides preparing yourself for the end of the dollar's dominance on the world scene, which seems like it's going to happen at some point, whether it's in 5 months or 5 years or 50 years, I don't know, but it seems like it is going to happen. Certainly, if whether the dollar falls quickly or slowly on the world scene, it certainly is being inflated here in the United States. And so one thing you can consider doing, of course, is protecting yourself by looking into alternatives for your wealth, like cryptocurrency and or gold or silver. You decide how to handle your own money, obviously, but something to consider. You can protect yourself in that way, but you can also protect yourself in the way of physically moving into a community where you have like-minded souls who are around to trade with and to be friends with and to work together with. And that's something that is happening. It may happen in Honduras on some of these ZAs, these special economic zones. We're going to talk more with Mark about what's going on Prospera here in a moment. But right now, and for like the last two decades, it's been happening here in New Hampshire with the Liberty migration that's been going on here. And you can learn about some of the really awesome things that are happening here in New Hampshire from the folks over at Porcupine Real Estate. Mark Warden has been helping people connect with real estate, and he doesn't just do home sales. He also can help renters. So if you're looking for a rental property to get started, they can also, you know, get you connected there. But the thing they want you to do is attend some of their webinars, which are completely free, and they'll be really educational on specific topics like gun freedoms, medical freedoms, political freedom victories here in New Hampshire. Of course, they're going to cover best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. So you can go to move.freetalklive.com. It takes you right over to the Porcupine Real Estate website where you can get registered for these seminars, and they are, again, completely free. Maybe you want to see previous ones. You want to go and see what they've been like. Go to the Porcupine Real Estate YouTube channel, and you can watch previous webinars there. But sign up for the ones that are coming up over at move.freetalklive.com and get some of your questions answered from people that are here in the midst of it, people that are experts at living here in New Hampshire over at Porcupine Real Estate. That's move.freetalklive.com. So, Mark, you were at Prospera recently, and I know this because you were sharing some photos of what appeared to be some sort of a Bitcoin meetup or a presentation. What was going on there? Prospera is one of these special economic zones in Honduras on an island called Roatan, if I recall correctly. And they've actually got something. There's like a, it seems like they're in a building. What were you there for?
Right. So this is a Bitcoin coffee shop, and it was started by Bitcoin Maxi that is just excited as he can be. And I can't tell you what business is like there usually, but I can tell you when we were there, the place was packed, and it's just, you know, it's beautiful. It's probably the best view on the island. It's got this giant library of books that are on Bitcoin and sort of libertarianism and crypto secrecy and all these sorts of things. It's got little museum pieces. It's got a Bitcoin ATM.
Yeah, and the whole thing frustrated me when I saw it, Mark, because if there was ever a single image that I ever could have imagined of people literally buying their freedom from the government, I mean, that would have been the image. If you asked one of these artificial intelligence, like Midjourney or whatever, say, create me an image of people buying their freedom, buying their right to be left alone by the government, they would have given those images. I'm convinced. It just had, I don't know, man. It's not for the average person. I'm glad such a thing exists, but it's so far beyond the realm of feasibility for the average person. Well, that when
how much, what is the realm of feasibility? So let's talk about buying freedom for a second. If we are presenting that slavery has existed since the agricultural revolution, I will agree. And if we will present that people have bought their freedom since the agricultural revolution, like almost every society, Julius Caesar was a slave and got his freedom. There's plenty of instances in the U.S., sort of antebellum South, and that example of people who managed to buy their freedom. Some of them, you know, as slaves, worked to earn money, gambled that money. That gambling then resulted in them winning enough money to buy their freedom. They buy their freedom. Then they gamble again, and maybe they get enough money to get their family out. It did happen.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating process. But yes, people do buy their freedom. How much is a reasonable amount to buy your freedom?
I don't know. You know, and I don't mean to come across as any sort of unique criticism against, you know, the Prospera thing or whatever it is you guys are doing there. I just want to point out that however much that is, it's always, by definition, going to be beyond the realm of possibility for the average person.
Slave masters don't give you your freedom. You've got to buy it.
Well, you
got to
fight for it.
Freedom isn't free.
There are alternative ways, right? Right, right.
There's a hell of a lot more instances of slave rebellions. There's a lot more heads on pikes
certainly
than there are slaves that got free through rebellion. You've got to run or you've got to buy.
Okay, I just want to focus on briefly what was going on there. So you're in a Bitcoin coffee shop. Is this actually on the Prospera property?
Yes.
Okay, so did they build a separate building? Are they renting from Prospera? Like, what's the deal there? Is he living on the Prospera property? How has this come along? Last I heard about Prospera was, we probably talked with you about it maybe 6 months ago. It seemed like they had, Prospera itself had a building that they'd purchased. It already existed, and that they had offices or something in there. Is it part of that building? What's it like?
You'll pardon me if I don't know all the specifics,
okay,
but it is my understanding that Prospera purchased the neighboring golf course community. That golf course community just kind of collapsed, you know, all kinds of problems. So you have some houses that are in Prospera, and you have some buildings.
Now, just to clarify, one of the things that happened, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, is the Congress of Honduras last year voted unanimously or nearly unanimously to abolish the special economic zone law. And I know that the way it used to be set up was that the special economic zone could acquire new property. So Prospera started with 60 acres or whatever it was, and then you're saying they acquired this golf course, this golf community. Did that happen before the Congress got rid of the ZA, and that's part of the ZA, or were they able to bring it? Did it happen after Congress got rid of the ZA, and they were still able to bring it in as part of the ZA? Do you know?
That's the question I can't answer.
Okay.
I believe, but let me ask you this. I'll answer your question with a question. The answer is I don't know, and but my question is there's a process by which property goes from Honduran property to ZA property. It goes from the municipality of Roatan 2, whatever that's called. There's two municipalities on Roatan, and I don't know what they are. Pardon me. It goes from Roatan to the ZA. At what point in that process does the property become the ZA's? Is it the final bit where the bureaucrat goes and says, hands over the deed from the central agency in Tegucigalpa, stamps it, and then gives it to the ZA? Or is it when the ZA signs all the paperwork to bring it in and sends the paperwork to Tegus? Where is it? And I know you can't answer this question.
I would guess it would be the end of the process where you get the final.
Then you can't move any property from, you can't get a legal dispensation from the Tegus that your property is moved. But you can do all the steps prior to that currently, as I understand it. And those steps, when completed, one could claim, hey, I've done everything I need to do to be free. This is the, you know, buying, fighting netherworld, because your master never wants to let you go.
Right.
And that's the truth here, too.
How would you know that master, in this case, has let you go? You know, here in the United States, there's property taxes, right? So if there was a ZA, presumably the United States version would be exempt from property taxes, and you would know that you are free from that because you don't have to pay property taxes anymore. Is there some sort of, you know, obvious indicator?
No. At this point, everybody out there believes the story that ZAs are in a legal limbo. So the local municipalities are trying to tax the ZAs. Hey, give us our money.
What does that look like, though? I mean, are they
trying to make
taxes
them
or what?
There are property taxes.
There are.
And they're trying to make them get building permits. They're trying to make them do a bunch of things that they don't have to do as ZAs.
Right.
And this is the thing that has not been worked out. So essentially, the Honduran government, anytime that it can, it does not allow any of the freedoms that ZAs legally have.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the $11 billion lawsuit that's currently facing the Honduran government. One third of its GDP, more money than its government spends in a year, is what it would have to pay if it loses this lawsuit, where it is, to my mind, illegally preventing the ZAs from being ZAs. But it's stopping them from, so if stuff comes in, they're not giving them their tax-free status, their import-export duty dispensation that they're supposed to have. They're not getting that. Any variety of things. But nobody appears to be demanding property tax. Nobody appears to be demanding, building permits and these sorts of things. Like, they'd love you to give them, and as soon as you do give them, you've given up that right, but they're not demanding it.
Sounds like a real confusing legal situation that these guys are involved in here. So you're on this golf course, golf course community. There's housing there, you said, and that's where the location of the Bitcoin coffee shop is?
That's correct. I also toured the nearly complete Duna residences. They're supposed to be complete in September. So I went to the top floor. I saw where they're claiming that the drone is going to land your meal when you order it from this place or that place. I went and saw the sizes of the rooms and the hookups for the water and power and all that stuff. They've got, they're coming along.
So
do I think they'll be done in September? I never bet on any construction project being done on time.
Is this Duma thing, is this Prospera's official, like, residences that they're going to be selling or renting or what?
Prospera is a governance platform and doesn't exist in a geographic area. But Duna is a construction project, the highest building on the island of Roatan, because they could deviate from the rules because they were under different, different sets of rules.
Okay.
And they have constructed this building. And this building will be done soon. But is it Prospera? Well, it doesn't really work that way. They're under Prospera's governance, if that exists at all.
Is this confusing or what, Arya?
Yeah, it's pretty confusing. And it sounds like, we mentioned, buying your freedom and all of that. It sounds like it wasn't even a successful purchase of freedom.
I think that may be true. Is this the shopkeeper's attempting to claw back this purchase?
Yeah. Yes.
They haven't. Here, I'll say this. If you can buy your freedom, buy it. Spend whatever the price is. Your grandchildren will thank you.
Sure. And that's great. But it's, again, way outside the realm of possibility for the average person.
Right. Which is why
I don't know that it's true. You can go different places. I would also ask this question. If you say that the United States government's a slave master and... Let's
I'm
just go
say
ahead.
They're all slave
that.
Masters. Every one of them. Every people call
well,
themselves
you,
governments
okay.
anywhere.
Hold on. I have a question for you. Then let's talk about the Monegas, the people from Monaco. Now, it's been 500 years at least that a noble purchased his own nobility. He gave money to some Frankish king or something like that, and bought a little piece of land.
Mm-hmm.
And he built his own little community. And anybody who moved there, presumably, has agreed to the set of rules that exist there.
Okay.
So you got 500 years worth of rules that exist there, but nobody was murdered, nobody had a gun stuck in their face, none of that stuff. It is a private kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Is it legitimate? Because you could leave anytime you want. Believe me, the Monegas do not want to. They're
I'm not saying it's impossible to buy your freedom, or that it's impossible for a government to recognize that purchase. And
but Ian was saying that there is no freedom. Ian
why don't
was saying
you go
no
there?
One is free.
Why don't you go there? Are the rules that crappy, or what? Like, what's the reason?
You can never be a citizen of Monaco, for one, and
unless you're born there.
That's correct. Unless you are, you can't go to Monaco and become a citizen, and I don't want to go because, and that doesn't matter. I could go there and be a resident, but I'm not. I have all the freedom I want, and I said this many times on the air. I'm free. Because I'll give the bandits a little bit of money, and I'll go through. I'll get their documents signed and those kind of things. I feel free. I'm trying to show people that your freedom is achievable. You can get
if you
it
have the
if
money.
You pay the gangsters is what you're saying.
No,
my attempt to get the money
that.
To buy said freedom
more,
is landing me in
time,
prison.
Guys, isn't that what you just said? Didn't you say you are free because you gave gangsters some money and filled out their paperwork?
You give them your money anyway, but you just sit right in one piece of land and you say, "Go ahead and torment me." That's a different story. Now,
but that's not my story at all. And again, I want to say what I just said again. But my attempt to acquire said money to buy my freedom literally is landing me in prison. So it's not possible for every person. You do have to have a lot of money, and attempting to get that money and lands you in prison.
I'm sorry that you're on bond right now, or that you're going to jail. I mean, when I'm talking to people, I'm not talking to people who are going to jail in a month.
No, but I'm talking to the average person out there, the one who's like,
the average person isn't going to jail next month.
No, but if they attempt to get the money to buy their freedom, Mark, they will. That's my point. That's the point that you're not listening. It's beyond the realm of possibility for the average person.
$120 a month at Morazan.
And then do
you
what?
Can't tell me.
And then just bleed money for the rest of their lives?
Yeah, I don't know how many times you have to go over this, Mark. You cannot,
okay,
unless you are a remote worker. Hold on. Now, more people are remote workers than ever before, so maybe this is open to more people than before. But unless you are a remote worker, you cannot live in Morazan City, which is a walled city that is in the mainland of Honduras. We weren't talking about that one earlier. We were talking about Prospera, so now we're discussing Morazan, which is a different location, just to be clear. This is a place where you can indeed get a $120 a month apartment.
Is this the place where you get to live with, like, Mexican textile workers or whatever?
Honduran textile workers in this case, yes, because they can also afford $120 a month apartments. And I don't care about the neighbors.
Right.
But, you have to be able to do something to continue on your life. Unless you are wealthy, you have to be able to work, and unless you want to go work at the Honduran textile factory for whatever they pay, you're still going to have, there's just not a lot of options for somebody that's not a, what do they call it, digital nomad.
Let me come up with an option for you. Let me come up, well, there you go. The digital nomad thing affords some level of freedom.
Yeah, but the corporation supports
that. Hold on, let me finish.
Not everyone can do it.
Give me the courtesy of letting me talk for 2 minutes.
Right, well, I wanted to interrupt Ian on this as well. Right, I just want to point out real quick, the corporations have been killing the whole remote work thing for the last year and a half. I mean, that's done. That was a brief period during COVID, but they're working hard to kill that.
I think more people have it.
Who are doing customer service from their houses right now, so it can be done. What I'm trying to say is that Arya's position that you cannot be free, you will suffer, it is terrible and you can't get out of it, is incorrect.
That's not my position.
All I'm saying.
That's a horrible mischaracterization of my position.
It certainly sounds like your position.
That's not what she said.
Let me give one example.
I said you can't buy freedom.
Let's say you're passionate about freedom. Let's say you really want to be free. You can go to the freest place on earth, Morazan, Prospera, but in this case I'll use Morazan, and you can, go check it out, see what it's like. Nobody's done this. I mean, literally, it's been
Isn't
a handful
Alex
of
down
people.
There?
Right, okay. So, okay.
Is it
12
the
people
also going back
have done
this word?
12 people have done this.
Okay.
By no one, I mean, I'm comparing 8 billion on the planet to a dozen.
And what are you, do you know, presumably you know some of these dozen people. What are they doing to make ends meet?
Many of them have different financial situations. But here's an idea. Let's say you go to Maine and you work at a restaurant that's open for 3 months out of the year that just has customers coming in hand over fist, all kinds of people. And you make enough money where you can pay your $120 a month rent. I'd say that's a 12th of the rent of the United States. So I'd say you could make that money relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. If you're passionate about freedom, if you don't want to live in Morazan, and I can totally understand why you would not want to live in Morazan, I'm all for that. Look, do what you think is best. But you can't say that you can't do it, because you can just pick up, move, go back and forth, and have that experience.
So you're saying
that's what you want to do.
That would be you're saying living in the United States under the U.S. tyranny for 3 months out of the year, working and saving money, and then taking it back to Honduras is freedom.
If you have not already saved enough money to be free, because money and freedom aren't the same thing, but they are somewhat analogous. So I would recommend if you want to be free, start saving your money now. Don't spend it on Red Bulls and, chai lattes and avocado toast, as we were just hinting at before. You know, go ahead and start saving. Once you have enough money, then you can retire for significantly less to Morazan, as Joyce Brand has. One of the greatest women thinkers in the liberty movement.
Wasn't she the founder of Libertopia?
Yes.
Okay.
And Mark, I could easily just like move to the woods and I could move to the Sahara somewhere, right? And live out my entire existence out there in the sand, not being ever bothered by anyone. It would cost me literally no money to do so. But what's the point of freedom if you're not in a society with other individuals? And I think this is sort of the thing we're getting at when you pointed out that, you know, Morazan isn't attractive to everyone. Sure, I could go there and pay $120 a month, whatever, and be alone and live in isolation with a crappy internet access. Oh, yeah, and maybe a dozen other people because I don't speak, I'm assuming they speak Spanish, but I don't speak whatever language they speak in the Honduras. Probably, but, you know, I like interacting with people. I don't want to live in this walled-off society this walled off society with a bunch of other people and not having interaction with other. It's not an attractive deal.
What does it cost to live on the?
How did New Hampshire? I'll be happy to talk to you about that in a moment. How did New Hampshire become the libertarian homeland? The first libertarian moved, and that's how it would be done any place else.
Right.
Now, it costs to live in Prospera. I just toured the Duna residences, and there's a few left currently that should be ready by the end of the year. They said September. I'm just going down by the end of the year.
Keep in mind, we spent the first half of this hour talking about how the Honduran government is literally trying to take that away from people. So this is all tenuous at best anyway.
It is.
You should listen to the whole show. And if you haven't listened to the whole show, you can go to archives.freetalklive.com.
You got to take
pick up and move your life, before you decide, I'm going to pick up and move my life. Don't do this spontaneously. Don't just pick up. Do a little studying.
And I do want to say that I'm not saying you can't have freedom. I'm not convinced on the idea that buying freedom is practical for even 10% of the population out there.
I'm not sure that fighting it is either. And
well, that's how slaves have always won freedom. Was by
no, they haven't. Slaves have never gotten freedom by fighting.
Literally since the beginning of slavery, that's how people.
Nope.
You mentioned, how about Nat Turner?
Nat Turner,
he fought for
died.
His freedom. Yeah,
he died.
Yeah,
everybody dies. But
he died then.
I don't think he did.
Stand by.
But it doesn't matter because slaves win freedom by fighting for it, not by paying for it.
You can also run to a more free place, which a lot of slaves did successfully just escape. There's more coming up.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government, or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.